In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst. What have you been thinking? What is on your mind? What have you been thinking this past week? In 1,000 different instances. Too much information. I remember back in the day, people would say to each other sarcastically, "You ought to have your head examined." Well, what if we examined our head? What if we examined our head? What if we logged all our thoughts all week long? If we made a list of all the different thoughts flying around up in there, what would we see? What would we see? How many creative thoughts? How many destructive thoughts? How many godly, prayerful thoughts? How many ungodly thoughts? How many silly and useless thoughts? The Lord's parable of the sower begins. A sower went out to sow his seeds. Our thoughts, brothers and sisters, are the seed of our behavior. Our thoughts are the seed of our behavior. Our actions grow from the ideas and thoughts that have been sown in our minds and hearts. How important are the thoughts sown in our mind? Someone said, "Sow a thought, reap an act." Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. In nature, seeds are so powerful that they can grow up through thick asphalt and just through this smallest crack in concrete. And so it is, brothers and sisters, with the seeds of our thoughts. Metropolitan Athanasios of Cyprus, the literary Father Maximus in the books of Kyriakos Markides, reminds us. He says, "The healing of fallen humanity presupposes a return to our natural state, the way we were originally created by God. Adam and Eve in paradise were in constant contemplation of God. That was the sole activity of their hearts and minds. They lived in a state of uninterrupted memory and awareness of their Creator. This meant that humanity in its pre-fallen state had a continuous communion with God's grace." Of course, we could argue that Adam and Eve had no schedule, no work schedule, no school schedule, no shopping schedule, no cleaning schedule, no event schedule, not even a church schedule did Adam and Eve have. All they had to do was name all the animals and then chill. "Honey, why don't you just call it a hippo?" But then they got to chatting with that serpent. They got to chatting with that serpent, an idle mind is a playground for the devil, even in paradise. The parable of the sower is mostly a story of crop failure. Of crop failure, a failure of the seed to grow. The seed, Christ said, is the Word of God. The soil, our human minds and hearts. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. There was good soil enough for the thorns to grow, so the good seed should have been able to grow also, but the thorns grew with it and choked it. As for what fell among thorns, Jesus said, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Unripened fruit may look nice, may look normal, until you try it and you find it hard and dry. None of us here wants to choke off the Word of God in our life. None of us wants to do that. We just heard in our epistle, for you are the temple of the living God, for God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Again, Metropolitan Athanasios said, there is only one overarching commandment. There's only one commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, that is, your entire existence and focus should be redirected toward the love of God, the great beloved. He said, this is the only commandment. There are no others. The remaining commandments that God gave us are consequences of the first one, of the love of God. He said, but in order for us human beings to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, we need to return to the way we functioned before the fall. To the way we functioned before the fall. That means God must become once again our permanent and uninterrupted focus and preoccupation. Our minds and the center of our consciousness must get reattached to the love and contemplation of God. This must become the primary activity of our minds as it was in the beginning before the fall. The Metropolitan Athanasius, a living father of our time, said these words in a conversation to people like us. To people like us, believers, but with busy, distracted lives and minds. And of course they responded, how can we do this while living, not in a monastery, but out in the hectic world? The answer of the Father is the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. He said the Jesus Prayer whenever and however we can. A retraining of our minds, even in fits and spurts. He said, fill in the time slots. Fill in the time slots. When driving, cooking, cleaning, or taking a walk, whenever and however, fill up the time slots with the holy name of Jesus. He said in his opinion that if a person who does that on a regular basis needs no other form of prayer, if a person does that on a regular basis, he needs no other form of prayer. He does recommend a short prayer rule to kickstart the Jesus Prayer, to cultivate the prayer in us. He says that we should start the Jesus Prayer immediately upon awakening, before other thought forms enter the mind. Begin, make the sign of the cross, and to begin the prayer immediately upon rising. He said, this way the mind gets attached to the invocation of the holy name right from the start of our working day. The Jesus Prayer, says the Holy Father, can unlock for us the mystery of our life in this world. Unlock for us the mystery of our life in this world. It's like a key which will lead us back to paradise, the place where we should be. He said all human beings have capacity to return there, and that is God's wish for all of us. That is God's wish for all of us. And finally, also to the question, Should one practice the prayer in church while the service goes on? He answers, absolutely. He says, this is a space particularly conducive for the prayer. First and foremost, the person who practices the prayer tastes the love of Christ. This is what we all truly need and what our supreme objective should be. And this is what we lack. This is what we lack. He said, together with the sacraments, the prayer can ignite within our hearts the flame of Christ's love. Brothers and sisters, let us burn up our wasteful thoughts in the holy flame of the name of Jesus. Indeed, may this flame burn brightly in our hearts and in our minds through the prayers of our holy fathers. May our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Christ is in our midst.